So now I still have to do my own. And then we're talking about impacting the world. And again, I told you, Andy is so passionate about this, but to hear the stories. That's what I said, just tell me the stories. And it's absolutely incredible. And we've been talking about how Jesus modeled it, how he lived impacting community. And today is the final message about Jesus' death. And next Sunday we'll celebrate his resurrection. And one thing that we know about Jesus is every funeral he ever attended, he ruined it. He ruined every funeral that he ever went to because he'd go, oh, you're dead? No, you're not. Bang! Right? It's amazing. And he ruins his own funeral as well. He loves to screw those up. But not before the very people that should be celebrating his life conspire to end it. The very church people that should be celebrating that the Messiah is alive decide to take one more shot after his death. I read a story this week about a pastor in his 70s who said enough is enough. He was tired of fighting with his church leadership. He was tired after decades of struggling against tradition. He was done with it all. And he shot and killed himself. And I'm reading that story. And I'm thinking in my own life of a time when I was literally beside my bed just not wanting to do this anymore. We were facing a coup here at the church, and I was just so depressed that I was curled up in a ball, and I said, I'm tired of this. And one of the things that I have had to lean on over the years, and thankfully we're not that church anymore, is the fact that as somebody shared with me, I shared with another pastor some of the struggles I was going through, and his response was, well, you know, Jesus was persecuted too. And I said, yeah, but they killed him. I am not looking forward to that. And I actually sat in a board meeting here once and I said, just have the courage to fire me already. Because I will not bow down to church tradition, but I will stand for the gospel. And that's a hard and lonely place to be when you're fighting against church tradition. Instead of them celebrating the Messiah and the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures, all they cared about in Jesus' day was themselves. These church leaders, and their traditions. I'm going to show you here in a minute. They couldn't have been more hypocritical if they tried. So, if you decide this morning that your brand of Christianity is all about being sneaky, if you think it's all about power and all about getting a position where you can have things the way that you think they should be, I'm going to teach you how to be a sneaky Christian. But I'm going to warn you right now, I'm also going to teach everybody else how to spot you. Because if you think that's the way to go, you are so not going to like being here at this church. You are going to be so uncomfortable because I am going to teach you how to spot hypocrites in the church. And I want to warn you, just as the Pharisees in the day when they killed Jesus and they even conspired against him after he was dead, it doesn't end well for them. And it's not going to end well for you. Yay! This is so exciting! Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. Come on, Matthew, that's a lot of verses. Break that up. Verse 62, one of the things that I want you to know about hypocritical Christians who love power and position and traditions is they will warp Scripture. They'll warp it to their own needs. This verse blows my mind. Verse 62, the next day, the one after preparation day, in other words, Jesus died, and they prepared his body. The chief priests and the Pharisees, the church leaders, went to the Roman government, to Pilate. The next day, what in the world is the next day? What day comes after Friday? Saturday. In the Jewish background and tradition, what's the Sabbath day? Saturday. What day did these church leaders yell at all the Israelites, don't you do anything on Saturday? They did. They would tell you that you're violating God's word if you did anything on the Sabbath. What are they doing on the Sabbath? They're still bugged about Jesus. They violate what they preached. They use Scripture to their own means. Jesus, your disciples are picking corn on a Saturday. Jesus, they didn't wash their hands before they ate. You know, they were constantly on Jesus about violating Scripture. What did they do in verse 62? Hypocritical Christians who care more about power and tradition love to take Scripture, and they demand that you follow it. Kind of sketchy if they should. And man, do they love to play politics. They go to Pilate. Sneaky people have zero problem being hypocrites. But don't you dare violate their rules. Right? Now listen, my first church in Kentucky, they made it clear, you better be at the church 4:30 in the morning on Easter. Anybody know why? Right? Sunrise service. We never saw the sun once. Sunrise service. You better be there, and you better be dressed the part. Anybody who knows in the Bible Belt, you know what I wore every Sunday, right? Suit and tie. Imagine it. Come on, think about it. So Deanna and I take our one-year-old son at 4:30 in the morning, and we come to the Easter sunrise service. Everybody else showed up in pajamas. Or most of the church board wasn't even there. But by golly, they demanded that I be there. I did it 1 year and I said, yeah, this is dumb. We're changing this. Right? Isn't that weird they got rid of me? It's just so strange. They love to tell you to follow their rules, but don't you dare violate theirs. Okay, look at verse 63. They love to make sure that things are secure for them. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, I love it, said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Sneaky people love to make sure things go the way they want. They sure were worried about a guy they didn't believe in, by the way. But they do believe that his disciples will be sneaky. They obviously didn't realize that those cowards ran. That the disciples were in hiding because they were afraid. They obviously didn't know the chickens. Now, I say that. I know where I would have been, by golly. I'd have been the first one running to the upper room. You know what I mean? I'm not hanging around. So I get it. I understand it. But man, churchy people that care about rules and politics and traditions got to secure things the way it should be. And they will be sneaky about it. They'll play politics. And that's not good. So they want to make sure for it to be secure, they got to seal it. Verse 65, "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. That's overkill. That's crazy. That drives me insane. Now, I know one of the reasons they ran me out down in Kentucky is because we tore down the 125-year-old building that, remember I told you, upstairs, the floor was caving in to the middle, and you could look on the outside and stare down into the bottom, into the basement. Yay, right? And so we tore that thing down. I accidentally dropped the copier when I was leaving my office, and I'm like, oh no, now we got to buy a new one, because, you know, it's the one that Paul used to write scriptures on, and I just, oh no! Then we had to buy a new one, and we built a brand new $750,000 building. It stands out. It's such a mistake, because it's such a poverty-ridden area, and I thought, oh my gosh, we created a building that people are going to be afraid to come to. We opened on a Wednesday night for Bible study, and as I walked into the building, I saw someone had put up signs everywhere. Do not do this. Don't go to this room. Don't do that. Someone had made rules for the brand new building. I took them all down. I hate rules. Have you noticed? I can't stand why people think we've got to secure things with all these rules that we turn into scripture so that we can box Jesus in. They put that stone there thinking that they could keep Jesus in and that they could keep us out. I want to make a church where it's easy for Jesus to be seen and to be known and for you get to see who Jesus truly is. I want that stone out the way. We're not going to buy into rules and traditions that keep us away from where Jesus is. But let me tell you something now. Satan loves to put stones in front of us. He absolutely loves to block our view of who Jesus truly is. Do you know how much God cares about stones that are in our way? He don't care about no stone. While we're cowering in fear, God is going, I'm going to make it clear to you who I am. I'm blowing this stone out of the way. And so we're going to talk about that next week, where the stone just boop, gone, because it doesn't matter how secure we try to put Jesus in a box, keep him in the tomb, it's the way we think it should be. God goes, no, it is my way. Right? And so because of his grace, we can see him clearly. We haven't had communion yet. Did you notice? There's a reason. We're getting ready to celebrate communion and celebrate the fact that no matter how badly other people try to keep us from seeing God clearly, no matter how much Satan tries to keep us from seeing God clearly, God goes, oh, no, you don't. And we are going to be a church where we do not roll stones in front of Jesus and who he is and where he is and where he wants us to go. We will be a church of grace, right? And we will celebrate it. So let's pray for our communion. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to celebrate your broken body and shed blood, that the stone that is rolled in front of the tomb and sealed with the guard doesn't matter. Because your grace, your love for us overcomes all. So as we have been spending a month talking about the death of your son, and what happens after that. We look forward that regardless of how bad Friday and Saturday is, it's almost Sunday when that stone is rolled away and Jesus comes back and changes everything. Thank you for his death on the cross that changes us still today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I follow through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is her and these four words. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Feel good right now, and I know you think of things I could never think about. It's hard to count it all joy, distracted by the noise, just trying to make sense of all your promises. Sometimes I gotta stop, remember that you're God, and I am not so.
Tall. All right, let's go ahead and stand up and let's sing about his amazing grace.
Who breaks the tower? Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is uncaring love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings the chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be saved. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
I hope you're able to sing his praises throughout the week.